A privilege once again this morning to share God's word with you. And we, with the sermon series, The World Needs a Father, we're going to speak this morning about the third most important role of a dad. We know the four. I'm going to run them through you again: to establish authority, spiritual, moral, to confer identity, to provide security and affirm potential. This morning, speak about providing security. The most effective way to provide security is by making sure that there's an atmosphere of love in the home. And in preparation for this, I thought, how foolish is it of a, how can a human being, a person, speak about the love of God? Can you describe the love of God? The love of God, the language hasn't been invented yet that can fully describe the love of God. So what God does, he comes and he just shows us his love. So this is how much I love you. And the analogy is given as, you know, show me, you know, how much does God love us this much? No. Does he love us this much? Oh, does he love us this much? No. How much does he love us? He stretched out his arms as wide as he could. He said, I love you this much. God, this morning, it's our privilege to sit here this morning and to speak about your love. I cannot do your love justice. I'm not even going to try and do your love justice by attaching a sermon to it. But as sure as there is sun shining through that window this morning, Lord, so too could we be assured of your love. We thank you for your love. And I pray that Holy Spirit, by a supernatural work of grace this morning, you speak into our hearts and show us just how much you love us. May every one of us understand that you are love, and the way you've shown us your love by sending Jesus to die in our place is the greatest gift that mankind has ever known. And we thank you for that this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, and God's people said, Amen. Now show some love to each other and greet some folks around you. Good. Thank you for making the time to celebrate with us this morning and share of God's goodness. To recap, we've been speaking about the world needs a father, and the four primary roles of a dad is conferring, establishing authority, conferring identity, providing security, and affirming potential. And in the middle of all of this is love. The most effective way that a dad can do this is by having the love of God in our home. And this is true because God is love. And if God has the preeminence in our home, then God's love is there. And if God's love is there, then people are going to feel and live a sense of security. So what is the sense of security? What does it mean? What does it mean to feel that, okay, I'm secure here in this household? We've said before that the greatest gift that a father can give to his children is by loving their mother. And the truth of God's love needs to be a reality in the life of the father first, before the father can create an atmosphere of love. Does the father, as a father, do you understand and know that you are loved by God? We're going to highlight four truths from a passage of scripture in 1 John chapter 4 about God's love. So if we start off by simply saying God is love. God is love. Love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Gentlemen, is that a reality to you? Or do in your mind somewhere, somehow, because of the way you were brought up, have a performance mentality? I've got to do this, and I've got to act like this. I've got to perform at this level. I've got to earn a certain amount. I've got to live here. I've got to be able to buy this. I've got to look like this. I've got to act like this before I know that I am loved by God. Or is the fact that God is a reality to you, gentlemen? If I have to ask you, and please this morning, don't default to the fact that Jesus gave his life. If I have to ask you, gentlemen, in your life, how do you know God loves you? You think about that for a moment. I want to press you in a corner this morning and say, if you cannot in your mind already start thinking, okay, I've seen the love of God there. I've seen the love of God here. I've experienced it. If you don't have experiences like that, I want to ask you, really, do you believe that God loves you? That's why I said, don't default by saying, oh, God loves me because Jesus died. That's great. That's wonderful. That's over 2,000 years ago. But where you are here today, this morning, how are you experiencing God's love, gentlemen? How are you experiencing God's love? Is God's love a reality to you? So for us to be able to share the love of God in our homes, the love of God needs to be a reality in your life. Is God's love a reality to you? So the first thing we see from that passage of scripture is that God is love. The second thing we see is that God initiates his love towards us first. God first showed his love to us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 says, this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. When Jesus came to the earth and before he gave his life to the Lord, he made sure that people were building buildings in his name, right? He made sure that there was a movement called Christianity, right? He made sure that people were testifying of him and telling of him. He'd done all of that before he laid his life, right? No. He came and laid down his life regardless. Yes, he told people, go out, heal the sick, drive out demons in my name. But none of that was in place. The Church of Jesus Christ, as such, hadn't started until such time that by the time of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon us, came upon them, and the rest is history. The world has never been the same since then. But God demonstrated his love to us first. So God took the initiative first. In your home, are you, gentlemen, taking the initiative to love? When it comes to creating that atmosphere for your children, when your son is excelling on the rugby field or is excelling in school or whatever, you tell people, this is my son. Here's my boy. Let me introduce you to my son. And dan maak je kind terug. And you tell your wife, sort your child out. Hoe werkt het dan? To provide security in the home, do your children know that they are loved? Not because of how they perform, but simply because you love them. Now know that when you decide to have children, maybe you didn't decide to have children, but you have children anyway, you get what you got. You get what you got. You can't put in an order. I say, I want my boy to look like this. He must be good at this. He must be able to do this. No, you get what you got and you make a choice. And woman, I can only speak from what I've been told. I can't speak from experience. How many of you felt 100% ready as parents before your children were born to you? No. But that little food converter comes because it's all it is in the beginning. It's just a food converter. It's got no personality. It takes food and converts it into green stuff. That little food converter, that blessing, that bundle of joy comes into your life and you have a skin, that mother instinct kicks in. What is that? What is that? That's the love of God that comes in your heart. And as parents in the home, do your children, do they have that sense? Oh, I'm only loved if I do these things. And when your children do something wrong, remember we said this before, punish them, chastise them, you apply the rod of correction to the seat of learning, but you tell them, I'm not punishing you because you broke the glass or because you scratched the car or because you whatever, because you didn't do your chores. I'm punishing you because you were disobedient. It's because of the disobedience that you're being chastised. Because the child will then, the value will be placed on the things instead of who they are. So this is the self-worth. Ladies and gentlemen, for our children to flourish out there in this wicked, corrupt, sick, dying world, they need to be secure and know that at home, I'm loved. Home is a sanctuary for the things of God. That's important. That's how security is provided. It's emotional security. It is spiritual security. That's critical for the dad to be able to do that. But for the dad to be able to do that, it has to be a reality in the life of the father first. So the second point there is God initiated his love towards us. First, the fathers need to be taking that first step to show the love first. How are you doing this? Or are you waiting to be loved first? I love you because. No, I love you. Just I love you. The third point is from 1 John chapter 4 is that how many of you know that love costs you? Love costs. In the beginning, there's the meeting. You know, there's the meeting. Then you have the engagement ring, and then the wedding ring, and then the supper ring, and the supper ring. And you say, we joke like that. Folks, I'm submit this to you in all humility. If your relationship hasn't cost you anything, I really, really question if there's real love there. Because what did God's love cost him? His life. It cost him his life. It's going to cost you to love. And I don't just mean with Paunt. Not only the bucks, but it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you men having to make a sacrifice. Having to make a sacrifice. You're going to choose. You want to do things for yourself. And you can do things for yourself. You know, it's the scripture teaches that. It says, look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. So it's completely this heeltemal skriftelik om nou yourself to kyk. Because you can only give abundantly from a place of overflowing anyway. But when it comes to making a sacrifice that you have to make so that your wife can be blessed, your children can be blessed, that provides the atmosphere of love. Provides security by making sure there's that atmosphere of love. So God sacrificed, 1 John 4 and verse 10. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. So, in what ways, fathers, do you show sacrificial love? Where it costs you? Think about it. This is challenging, gentlemen. It's challenging. It really, really is. But by God's grace and His anointing, He'll enable us to live like this. In what ways do you show sacrificial love? What are we giving up so that our loved ones can gain from it? What are we giving up so that our loved ones can gain from it? The fourth point is God demonstrates His love and God communes intimately with us. Not remotely, not via correspondence, not via social media. Intimately, as close as can possibly be. This is how God demonstrates His love. Close, like this, intimately. This means that when you ask each other, how are you doing? How was your day? You take the time to listen to what your spouse has to say. And you listen not to respond, but that you listen to understand and to read. Gentlemen, you know what we're called to do in marriage, amongst other things, is to read between the lines. Sometimes when a woman says no, it means yes. When she says yes, it means no. It's mysterious, isn't it? That's why God says, husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding. That's funny, God. That's funny. That's funny. Sometimes when they say things are fine, it couldn't be further from the truth. The mystery. The mystery. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So God communes intimately. 1 John 4 and verse 16. We know how much God loves us and that we have put our trust in His love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God. And God lives in them. That's how close God's love is, where God lives in them. God living inside us is as intimate as it can get. It doesn't get any closer than that. The question is, are we present in our children's lives or are we absent and distant? The next point is from this passage of Scripture in 1 John chapter 4 is, there is no fear in love, and we're going to visit here a little bit longer this morning. There is no fear in love. You've heard of that expression about walking on eggshells. You don't know you don't know what to do because you don't know when you're going to do something wrong. So you walk on eggshells. There's no breathing room. We shared this morning in the pre-service prayer meeting, church should be a place where you know it is okay to make mistakes. What do I mean by that? We spoke this morning as well about the different gifts in the body. I know There's gifts in every single one of you. This is just not just a one-man show for somebody to come up, speak for half an hour, and then you go home. There's gifts that God wants in the body where we come together and edify and encourage each other and lift each other up here. For example, you feel like from time to time, Hester does it, and every now and again somebody else, you feel the Lord lays something in your heart, but you're not sure. And you sit there thinking, no, I can't go up there and share this with Mozzie or share this with the leadership. What if I miss God? What if I make a fool of myself? So what if you do? Guess what? By nature, we're foolish. Why? Because we're human beings. We're foolish by nature. The human nature is hell-bent on self-destruction. Without Jesus, we will destroy ourselves. So it's okay to make mistakes. So you come and maybe you miss God completely. Well then, hopefully one of us will be able to tell you. That doesn't mean no, don't ever do it again. Take the boldness, come and say, I just sense the Lord has laid this on my heart. And if and when you do make a mistake, what is our net? What net catches us? Grace. There's grace. You know? So me here, when I get up and preach, I've been preaching now, like officially, when I say officially, I mean in the context of shepherding a church for 21 years. And in 21 years, there was one time where I thought I'd made a mistake, but I was wrong. Like, really? I make mistakes all the time. There's grace for that. So church must be a place where it's okay, you feel. It's okay to make a mistake. I'm not going to be judged. I'm not going to be ridiculed. There's grace. We all make mistakes. Myself included. That's why we're there for each other. So if there's fear, like, oh no, what if I can't drug mark you? So what if I get this wrong? What if you get it right? What if you get it right? And on the other side, there's a congregation. There's your family in Jesus. There's the body of Jesus Christ that's on the receiving end of your obedience. That gets just that one word of encouragement that you have for somebody that you share. And it just sets that person's course aright. It helps them say, ah, okay, that was for me. So don't let that fear keep you at that place from being a blessing to the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. So the fifth thing is there from this passage is there's no fear in love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels fear. The New King James says casts out fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. Does the way we love our children remove fear from their lives? Now, I'm not talking about respect. There should be a healthy respect. So when your dad says, you know, if you do this, there's going to be consequences. You're going to be disciplined. And the child's like, is it? Is it like that? There should be a respect. Why? Because remember, when the children disobey the parent, it's not the parent they're disobeying, provided it's a godly home. They're coming against the authority that God has placed in that household. They're coming against godly authority. Let's really get it down to grassroots level. They're coming against God. That is why it's diabolical. That means it's of the devil. That's why it's satanic. So there's got to be that respect, that healthy respect, but not this fear of there not being love, but this healthy respect because the love of God is there. Perfect love expels fear. So does the way we love our children remove fear from their lives? Fear of the unknown. Fear of the future or fear of failure? When your children get it wrong, how do you deal with it? Is it dealt graciously, gracefully, saying it's okay? Is it dealt with encouragement? You can do better. Let's try it again. You know? Or you know what? You will never amount to anything. You jerk. Does the woman say, you're just like your father. He never listens. Sure. Proverbs 18 and verse 21 says, there's death and life in the power of the tongue. Let's be careful how we use it. So Gentlemen, that PDF that I sent, I just want to know, is it going to be displayed properly? Ah, there we go. Because when I sent it, so if the way things are done in the home is centered around fear. So what happens is, mom and dad lay down the law. Then there's expectations. You have an expectation, and then if the child doesn't live up to the expectation, what they do is they start trying to perform because there's this expectation that's placed on the child. When the child doesn't perform, so in other words, the obedience is not actual obedience, it's compliance. They're worlds apart. Obedience and compliance is I'm doing it because I'm told to do it. Obedience is I honor you, I respect you, I love you, I do not want to break your heart, therefore I'm being obedient. There's a difference between obedience and compliance. So the child tries to perform, and when the child doesn't meet the expectation or the standards that have been set, there's disappointment. Disappointment the child feels, disappointment the parent feels, and then what starts to happen? Guilt and shame. Who brings the guilt and shame? The devil. And sometimes, who does he do it through? Those closest to the child, isn't it? The loved ones. Sometimes he does it through the parents. Don't look at me all strangely. That's just how it happens. The guilt and the shame comes, you know. And then there's an increased sense of expectancy upon that child. And that's a vicious circle that continues. And as that circle goes like this, in the middle, the fear grows and grows and grows and grows as the enemy has the field day. Thank you. We can move off that slide. So here's the difference, folks. As we start to land this thing this morning, and then we're going to summarize and recap what we've looked at. So you can have two scenarios in a home. Listen carefully to this. It's so profound. And if we can get this, we'll see how God gives you a guarantee that there will be a breakthrough in your home because perfect love casts out fear. You have one situation where there is in the middle, there's these guidelines, there's these principles. Let's just say there's rules and regulations, and on the outside of it, there's love. So there's these rules and regulations in the middle, and if we do all of these things, then we're going to grow to the point where we start experiencing love, which is on the outskirts. Or is the opposite true? Where in the center of that home, there is love. In the center of that home, there's acceptance. And in that atmosphere of love and acceptance, we do things and we set family values. These are the values for us as a family, not rules and regulations. These are our values. And from love, we grow and we grow to the point where these values of ours are met, where these values of ours are reached and lived up to. What a difference. So the one in the middle, there's these rules and regulations. And if we comply with those, we start growing to the point where we experience, you're doing these things, so there's love. Or is it the other way around? In the middle of our home, there's love. There's acceptance. And when we live from that place out, we get to this place where our family values are reached as a family and as individuals. So folks, practically, how does this work? You say, Mozzie, that's wonderful. This is oh look a boodskapie oor die liefde. But how do we do it practically? Men, it starts with us. Guys, I don't know if you shaved this morning. Hopefully you brushed your teeth. I brushed my hair, all six of them. And I stood in front of the mirror. That person that you see in the mirror, men, hear the Spirit of God this morning. It starts with us. It starts with us. Going to say, God, I really, really understand and know that you love me. Jesus, you died. But God, how are you showing me love now? Show me, Lord. Let the Spirit of God quicken to your spirit and shows his love for you. Say, I am loved. I'm loved. I want to, this is not in the notes, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. You feel a sense of rejection and not being good enough. It's from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'll give the guys at the back time to get to it. Speaks about us being accepted in the Beloved. And this is for at least one man this morning. This is for at least one man this morning. Let me find it quicker here. Instead of reading half the chapter. Accepted. Sorry. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. My apologies. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. What a beautiful promise. What a beautiful promise. In fact, yeah, let's just read from verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So men, you are accepted in Christ Jesus. You are the beloved there, the scripture speaks, is the Lord Jesus Christ. You are accepted in the beloved. So men, come to terms with this truth. You are accepted. If you are in Christ, you're accepted by God in the beloved. And if you're not in Christ, get to the place where you are in Christ. What does that mean? Say, Lord, I realize that I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you, God. I need grace. Father, forgive me. Thank you for the cleansing blood of Jesus that washes that sin away. Forgive me. Lord, live inside me and help me to live for you all the days of my life. It starts with us men when we look at ourselves in the mirror and take a hard look at ourselves and our lives and say, I am accepted in the beloved. I am loved by God. God, help me to love my wife in this way. Help me to love my children in this way. The most effective way, this third primary role of a dad, is providing security. Providing security by creating an atmosphere of love in the home. How do we create the atmosphere of love? By first having a revelation of God's love for us as men in our lives first, so that we can live that out in our homes. I hope you learned something this morning, gentlemen. May the Holy Spirit of God get us to a place where we live this out and provide that sense of security in our homes. Not only security, like physical protection, but that spiritual sense of security that it's okay to make mistakes in this home because there's grace and there's forgiveness here. I'm loved by God. I love my wife like that and I love my children like that in the same way. Let's pray together. I'm going to ask the deep end, would you please come up and do that new song? Whoever the congregant was that suggested that new song, bless you. That's an awesome song. We had to praise the Lord together. I'm going to ask them to do that song for us one more time. But right there where we're seated, let's just pray specifically over this morning. Father, we're living in a world, Lord God, where there's so many different ideas and understanding of what love really is. But you had it right from the beginning. Love is demonstrated. Love is shown and proved by giving sacrificially. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus Christ to die in our place. He sacrificially gave his life for us. And if you're seated here this morning and perhaps you don't feel loved by God, I want to pray for you specifically this morning. And maybe you feel God is disappointed in you. And what's happening is Satan is bringing condemnation, and it's not Holy Spirit conviction, but satanic condemnation. I declare that stops this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, for every precious soul that is perhaps feeling like this, I pray that they know that they are accepted in the beloved. They're accepted because of what Jesus Christ has done. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you bring this truth to each person that has sensed this lie, that has been on the receiving end of this accusation, that it stops now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, then we pray for every household. Father, this is critical, critical for us to survive in these end times, that our families can be strong until the rapture, until the return of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that you anoint every man and their spouses, Lord, their wives, Lord, moms and dads, anoint them, Father God, to provide that sense of security in the home because of the love of God. And Holy Spirit, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. I pray that you teach us to love the godly way. Whatever understanding and knowledge we have of love, help us to love in a godly way, Lord, that our children can have that sense of security because of the love in the homes. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name, amen. May God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. If we do not see you next weekend at the... Hold those horses, guys. If we do not see you next weekend at the... I'll just call it the Passover weekend. I pray that you have a real special encounter with God. If you are here still, please come to church. There's going to be a celebration as we celebrate the resurrection weekend together. Come here if you're not going to be making your way through to Madrid. God bless you guys. Thank you. Yes? Yeah. Okay. All the worthy woman ladies, I don't know, you'll know who you are. If you're a lady, just see Colette up front. Yeah, it's got something to do with these...
No, that's a raffle.
Oh.
You need to bid or buy them.
Okay, so I don't know, ladies, I don't know, there's something happening here. Okay, so all the ladies, just see Colette immediately after the celebration, please. And remember, AGM taking place straight away for those of you interested. Join us afterwards for the AGM. Bless you guys. Thank you. Keep in.